This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. Neil? The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. As usual, with me in studio, my co-host, Naz Marchese. How are you this morning, Naz?
Good, Wally. How about you?
I'm floating on a cloud this morning, Naz.
Notre Dame.
The Fighting Irish gave a pretty good beatdown to the USC Trojans yesterday. For all the Fighting Irish fans out there, that was certainly when we beat USC, it's always a great victory. And apparently there's something, they exchange a little trophy or something when USC plays Notre Dame. It's called the Golden Shillelagh. So
reminds me of the Golden Jack.
So certainly Notre Dame's off to a start that they haven't had in a while, and of course your Crimson Tide,
44-7 over Tennessee,
and you're decked out in your Roll Tide sweatshirt this morning, Naz, and
Raptors hat too, right?
And the Raptors hat. Yeah. I haven't seen that one in a long time. Yeah. It looks like a new acquisition, Naz.
I was going to wear the Yankee one, but Louis Franceschetti's not here. So,
anyways, just give our listeners an idea where we're going with the show today. After the first break, about 9:15, we'll be talking to Bruce Garriock, who's one of Canada's premier sports journalists, writes for the Ottawa Sun and the Post Media Network, and we'll be talking to him about Ottawa hockey, Sens and Leafs from last night, and whatever else might be timely in the hockey world. The middle of the hour, and in honor of your Raptors hat today, Naz, we'll be talking to Leo Routens, Raptors analyst. Raptors are off to a pretty good start. Haven't beat anybody yet, really, but hey, it's better than losing. So
yeah, you can't tell how they're going to do with those two games. They're pretty weak teams in Chicago and Philadelphia right now.
Yeah. So, but we'll have a chat about Leo and see how he's sizing up the NBA season and the Raptors season. Last night, Leafs. Got a little bit of a schooling from the Ottawa Senators in the Battle of Ontario. Certainly, it is becoming a battle. The Senators are a very good hockey team, and they proved it in last year's playoffs. And bounce here and a bounce there, they very well could have been the Stanley Cup champions, losing in double overtime to Pittsburgh in the Eastern side of things before the Stanley Cup final, and Pittsburgh ended up being Nashville. But the Senators were on a bit of a roll at the end of last season and seem to have carried it into this season. So Leafs were up against it last night, and they were up against a very good hockey team. And as you pointed out before we went on the air, Naz, not only a very good hockey team, a very well-coached hockey team.
Yeah, very well-coached. Guy Boucher
and general manager
Mark Crawford is there too, right?
Yeah, and yeah, absolutely. And general manager Pierre Dorion, and your assessment of last night's game and perhaps the week that the Leafs had.
The neutral zone trap was in effect last night by Ottawa. They clogged up the middle on the Leafs for two periods. The Leafs finally broke through, and they kept out of the penalty box. Ottawa and Toronto's power play is lethal, and they weren't allowed to do much on the power play. They did score one goal on the power play, but didn't take too many penalties, and they beat the Leafs, and the right Anderson played in net for Ottawa, I guess.
Well, you know, it's sometimes these games come down to goaltending, and last night was, I guess what you would say, was a little bit of hockey, March hockey, April hockey. Wouldn't go so far as to call it May hockey. But hockey, Leafs have been pretty successful so far this year, playing what I call October hockey, which is run and gun, more offense than defense. And last night they ended up playing against a fairly disciplined hockey team. But I do want to go back to a game earlier in the week, the Leaf-Washington game. And that's the type of game, if this Leaf team is going to be successful over the course of the season, and especially as the season progresses, they've got to learn to win those 2-0 games, those 3-2 games, those 2-1 games, especially out of town. That will be the mark of a successful Leaf team if they can take this offensive power that they have and turn it into a disciplined and, you know, a disciplined effort. Not that they're undisciplined. They're not undisciplined. But, you know, ultimately, notwithstanding that there's more offense in the NHL nowadays, you know, the coaching is exceptional. So these 8-5 hockey games, the 7-4 hockey games, 10-1 hockey games, I have to think as the season progresses, those types of games dry up and you start ending up in these 2-1, 3-2 games to go to overtime. And those are the type of games the Leafs are going to have to win if they are going to take this team to a different level.
I'm not so sure that that's going to happen, Wally. These sticking fractions that they're calling, they're getting teams on the power play, they're scoring a lot of goals, right? Tampa Bay beat Pittsburgh 7-1 last night, 7-8-1. I mean, there's some big scores out there, and that's not changing too much. I wonder if it is going to change. I think it'll taper off a bit, right? But I don't know if it'll change all the way to the 2-1 games anymore. There'll be a few of them, but not as many as you think.
Well, we'll see. That would be interesting to see how that develops. It would be interesting to see if they continue to send somebody to box for every little stick infraction. That, you know, they've tipped the balance over to one extent, and I think at some point it'll return back to a more median level. So, you know, little things they'll get away with. Defense is going to take over to a certain extent. And, you know, in Ottawa, I don't want to say proved it last night. You know, they can still play a very disciplined trap game, neutral zone turnovers, a lot of two-on-ones going the other way. The Leafs started, you know, really, really pressing going one way and started coughing up some two-on-ones. And you know, come March, when points are crucial, those types of giveaways will kill you. They'll kill you.
They had Ottawa on the ropes in the third period, yeah, though. You know, it was 4-3, and Nylander scored on a power play, and there was a giveaway. I can't remember the defenseman who gave it away for Ottawa, but he gave it right to Marner, right in the slot. Marner shot quickly. Anderson makes the save. Marner scores that goal. It's 4-4, and it's a different ball game last night.
Oh, absolutely. Now, you know what? When the Leafs went down 3-0, it was Brassard scored right near the end of the second period. You know, those are the types of goals that kill you right at the end of the second period. But here's the interesting the way I look at this Leafs team last night and this not so much last night but this season and a good chunk of last season as well is I've got a totally different mentality about this team. About the Toronto Maple Leaf team, you know, a team from 3, 4, 5 years ago, Toronto Maple Leaf team gives up a goal right at the end of the second period.
Yeah.
They're down 3-0. You know
what?
Doesn't
mean anything.
Let me change the channel because this game's over. Yeah. You can't say that about this Leaf team anymore. And they were down 3-0, and I, you know, I thought that they would do something in the third period. I said this game's not over. This Leaf team literally is never out of it. They're never out of a game. And you know what? You got to give them credit. They came back in the second period, third period, and they made like you said, a bounce a different way, and we could have been going overtime. So it was a learning experience for this team. They've showed that you know they can come back, but they've also showed that there's some work to be done, notwithstanding the guys at Bodog, who...
They're the favorites.
A little bit shocked that they're the Stanley Cup favorites, but we'll talk about that a little bit more as we go along. We're going to go to break right now, and we'll be right back after the break with Bruce Garriock.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville brought back the large five-topping pizza special for just $13.99 for a limited time. I'm whispering because the last time Pizzaville brought back this special, there was pandemonium in the streets, pushing, shoving, biting. So order now and order often, and hopefully you won't have any bite marks when this is over. Call Pizzaville for the large five-topping pizza special at £3636 from your cell phone. Shh.
There's an old saying. Entrepreneurship doesn't build character, it reveals character. Entrepreneurs learn to trust a person by trusting people. The law firm Rigabon Carly understands this. They know all about entrepreneurs because they work for them. Every day, they've earned their trust. They know that when it comes to meeting the legal and business needs of entrepreneurs, good enough is not enough. Rigabon Carly, the intelligent choice.
Steels Paint in Woodbridge, an enormous 20,000 square foot superstore that carries nothing but the best. Superior staff, superior advice, superior selection, superior everything. When you have a really tough job to do, they can knock it down to size. They'll show you how to get it done right, and because they only sell the best of everything, you'll get it done to last. That means superior satisfaction. Steels Paint, 4190 Steels Avenue West in Woodbridge, the best.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity and Vaughan. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
Are they ever wrong about sports? I can answer that in two words. Impossible. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto on the new AM 740 and in downtown Toronto on 96.7 FM. We're pleased to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, one of Canada's top sports journalists. He writes for the Post Media Hockey Network, and he has the best Sunday column in the country. We're, of course, talking to Bruce Garriock. Good morning, Bruce. How are you this morning?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing today?
We're doing great, although I'm lying a little bit. Naz and I are lying. We're not too thrilled that the Leafs lost the game last night. Especially in the reincarnated Battle of Ontario with what we think is a very good Ottawa Senators team, to a certain extent an underrated Ottawa Senators team, if we can say that. But your assessment of the game last night, Bruce, and your assessment of this year's Ottawa Senators team, and then we'd like to ask you about the Toronto Maple Leafs. So we'll start off with last night's game.
Well, I thought it was interesting. I think that one of the things you saw last night was even when Ottawa got up 2-0, you've basically got a Toronto team that doesn't really back down. And, they get up 3-1 and everyone thinks it's over. And then they 4-3. And obviously at the end, they kind of put it away there. But I really think if you look at the Ottawa Senators right now, that they went those first few games without Erik Karlsson. And I thought they kind of had to battle the odds without Karlsson. And I really think that Western road trip where they swept Western Canada for the first time in franchise history with a 6-1 victory last Saturday night in Edmonton, and that started with a 6-0 victory the night before in Calgary in a 3-2 shootout win in Vancouver on the Tuesday. I really think that galvanized them a little bit and made them realize that, you know, they could win without Karlsson, because I think that when they started the season without Karlsson, it kind of came to me that, you know what, maybe they just had to survive without him, and maybe get a, if they could come off that trip with, you know, a 3 of 6 points, they'd be in good shape. But I think when they got 6 of 6 points, I think they felt good about themselves. I think that there had to be a little bit of an adjustment when they got Carlson back, because I think the first thing they probably did was probably breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief that he was back, and it took a couple of games before it got going. But I think what you saw last night is pretty much vintage Ottawa Senators. They frustrate the opposition. They get timely goal scoring, but I think they've got some real challenges ahead of them now, because not only did they lose Zach Smith on Thursday with an upper body injury, on Saturday they lost Bobby Ryan to a broken finger, and they say he's out a month, and I think that's something like his fifth or sixth hand injury or in the last couple of years, and it's the second time certainly in the last 2 years that he's broken that finger. So they've got some challenges ahead of them, no question, but I know that any time they can beat the Leafs, I think it's pretty good for this fan base.
Bruce, there was a lot of Leaf sweaters in the crowd last night. How many were there? Because it looked like blue all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, they come here because they can get tickets, right? And we all know that the Ottawa Senators have had a difficult time selling tickets here. And it's interesting, you know, because there's been so many stories and so many questions as to why the Senators are having such a difficult time, because, you know, people wanted winning hockey. Well, last year they got to the Eastern Final and didn't sell out the Eastern Final. This week and the last couple of home games, they've had crowds in the area of 13,000. I mean, the reality is one of the things that the Senators absolutely have to do is raise their season ticket base, because there's just far too much inventory to move on a nightly basis. And that's been one of the big challenges for the new president, Tom Anselmi, since he took over, is, you know what, trying to get it back to the point where when the Leafs come to town, you don't have that kind of building. Because you're right, there was an awful lot of blue in the crowd last night. A buddy of mine sent me a text saying, "I'm surrounded by blue here." and then he sent me a photo, and I went, "Oh my God, you are not kidding." And so, no, you're right. There was an awful lot of Toronto in that crowd last night.
Bruce, they're saying that there's a new arena coming out, isn't there? Yeah. Is that going to change that a bit? Because Kanata is a little far away for a lot of people making the trip out there, although it has grown a bit in that area.
No, absolutely it's grown in that area. But I think one of the things that's happened is, and we were having dinner the other night with some of the TSN guys, and this is one of the things we were talking about, is that, you know, if you equate their attendance problems to the bid for that arena, one of the things I've noticed is that since they basically said publicly that their arena was too far, their attendance has gone down. And if people are waiting for 2021 for the new rink to be built, and I think that might be a little quick, but certainly that's Eugene Melnyk's goal, and that's what he stated publicly several times that he'd like to have his opening night on October 2021. You know, LeBreton Flats is 10 minutes kind of west of downtown. It will be accessible by, we're getting an O train here next year, you know, something we've never had. So it will be accessible by what they call the O train, and very accessible by public transit. You know, I think that if people are waiting for that, you know, there's still a lot of work to be done there. And that, if you think about it, guys, it's still at least 4 years away, if not longer. So I think in the immediate right now, they've got to figure out a way to get people back to going to Kanata. And certainly, if one of the solutions is winning hockey, I think they've done that, because I think one of you guys said before I came on that they're kind of an underrated team, and they do kind of fly under the radar. And maybe there needs to be a little bit more respect for this team.
We're talking to Bruce Gerriak, who is award-winning hockey journalist, of course, and writes for the Post-Media. He's a Post-Media hockey columnist. Bruce, we in Toronto think of ourselves at times as the center of the hockey universe, and it's always a pleasure to talk to somebody who can see us from the outside, and we want a perspective from somebody who's not from Toronto, a Canada-wide journalist. What's your assessment of this Toronto Maple Leaf team and your reaction to them being installed as the Stanley Cup favorites by one of the betting services? It seems like we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but I want an outside of Toronto perspective.
I don't think that is foolish by any stretch of the imagination. I think that one of the things that the center has certainly proved last year is that, you know, if you win at the right time, you get on the roll at the right time, you can do it. I think one of the things we saw was they put a heck of a scare into Washington last spring, didn't they? You know, so I think that the Leafs, to me, are a team that certainly has the opportunity to win Stanley Cup, and I think they can be considered a contender. Are they considered a favorite? I don't know about that. It might be a little bit early, but I think that certainly they've got the pieces in place. I'd like to see them add a defenseman, but I certainly feel like, you know, with the talent that they've been able to assemble, the ability to score goals. I think Frederik Andersen, I'm not sure he was great last night, but I think most nights he gives them a chance to win. I certainly feel like, you know, the Leafs would be among the teams in the mix. And the other thing is, you know, Pittsburgh Penguins have won two in a row. They've played an awful lot of hockey in the last couple of years. If the Washington Capitals, you know, to me, the Washington Capitals should be the absolute favorite in the East. But they've got a lot of hurdles to climb, and I think the Leafs are certainly in that group of teams that you have to consider. And I know that you shouldn't. I know you say, well, you shouldn't get ahead of yourselves, and people get overly excited. But that's just the way the fan base is. But I certainly feel like, you know, they certainly belong in the conversation. Let's put it that way.
Bruce, Ottawa is going to go through a cap issue with Carlson and Turris not being signed yet. Montreal, I think, has that problem right now. Do you see those? Where do you see those two teams? You wrote an article on Montreal overnight, and interesting to say, I agree with you wholeheartedly about the Canadiens.
Habs in trouble. In today's Post-Media newspapers. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, no, I think that certainly as far as Montreal goes, that they've got the cap room to do something. It's just how do they do it? And to me, I look at Marc Bergevin right now, and in talking to league executives in the last couple of days, which is what I do for that column, that they think that the Habs' best bet is to try to figure out a way to get Duchesne right now and to get Joe Sakic to trade them Duchesne. But Duchesne's been difficult to get. It's just what piece are they going to trade to get Duchesne? And that's always been the difficult part in every deal. As far as Ottawa goes, I look at Ottawa right now. I do think they'll get Turris signed. I know there's been an awful lot of to and fro about Turris. But I think that at some point they've offered him 5 years, he wants seven. You know, you guys know sometime before the trade deadline that these two sides are going to sit down, and I think maybe at that point cooler heads may prevail. But Turris is going to have to push the envelope a little bit here, and get a little bit more involved in the discussions. On Carlson's interesting. I mean, they can sit down with him next July 1st. I'm sure he's looking at the. I know he was pretty excited when Connor McDavid got the $12.5 million from the Edmonton Oilers last summer. He was probably even more excited when Jack Eichel got the $10 million. You know, now it's a case of where is Carlson going to fall and in that group. And I think it's going to be a very, very interesting discussion. But I also think it's going to come down to, does Erik Karlsson want to stay here? And all indications are, you know, in my opinion, I think he wants to stay here as long because I feel like he thinks this team has the opportunity to win. And the one thing that Ottawa has done, one thing Pierre Dorion has done, and one thing that Eugene Melnyk has done is they've been pretty good at keeping their players. You know, the guys that they want to keep, the core pieces, they usually move to keep them.
Now we're talking to Bruce. Bruce, we won't keep you much longer. It's a beautiful Sunday. Sunday, we want to let you get on with your day and enjoy the weather.
No worries.
Have a fantastic day. But just one other issue that came out of your column. It's always a routine of mine to pick up the Sunday Sun on the way down here, the Toronto Sunday Sun, and of course you've got a column in there and in all Sun newspapers today. And we're talking about we're starting to ramp up the John Tavares discussion. And interestingly enough, Bruce, just so you're aware, Naz, my co-host here, tends to be provocative at times and stirred up the Steve Stamkos Toronto debate a few years back and has been stirring up the Tavares Toronto debate. But I tend to have to throw a little water on him. But what is the Tavares story and what are his options and what's the inside scoop and where he may end up?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, if you look at I think people are going to make the connection with Montreal simply because they have the cap space to do it, right? And I think Tavares has a real difficult decision ahead of him here. And I would have been like Naz, I would have said that Stamkos was going to Toronto when all that happened. And then he stayed put. And that's just a point that general managers have made to me is that everybody thought Steven Stamkos was gone, and he ended up taking a little less money to stay in Tampa. And I guess at some point, I mean, how much money do you need, right? And I think that this is the decision that Tavares has to make, and I think that one of the things that John has to do is he's got to sit down with the Islanders and see exactly what the direction is because they keep talking about they're going to move out of Brooklyn, and that's fine. But if they move out of Brooklyn, and I think they've been talking about going to Belmont, they're 4 years away from a new arena. And if they're going to take 4 years to put the pieces in place to help him win now, then the belief is that John Tavares will move on. And I can't see the Leafs being a fit because they're going to have to pay Austin Matthews. They're going to have to pay Marner. I mean, they're going to have to do some things with who they've got right now, right? I mean, one of the things that's going to be interesting next summer, and I wrote about this in my column a couple weeks ago, on July 1, after Eichel got his extension, on July 1, are the Leafs now going to have to extend Austin Matthews out right away? I think they are, right? Because Peter Chiarelli did it with Connor McDavid. Buffalo did it with Eichel, and that they had a year each left on their contract, but they got the extension. And I think that's where the Leafs, you know, for them to go after a big-name free agent this summer, like Tavares, I think it would be very, very difficult for them. But if you look at a team that has cap space, a team like Montreal certainly has the cap space to do that right now.
We've been talking to award-winning sports journalist Bruce Gerriak, who's been with the Senators since day one. Bruce, I'm going to let you go simply by repeating something you say at the end of your column. Very, very simply, Bruce, have a nice Sunday.
You too, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Bruce.
Take care.
That, of course, was Bruce Gerriak. I think you made a really good point at the end, Naz. How do you fit Tavares on a team that you've got to sign Matthews, Nylander, and Marner?
He made an interesting comment about Matthews, and he's right. Yeah. I never thought of it until he mentioned it. They should sign him sooner because the price is going to go up if they don't also. And then it'll affect the cap.
When you're saying sooner, you're saying before July, during the season?
At the end of the season. They sign him.
Hopefully the end of the season's near the end of June.
Yeah, hopefully. We all hope that, right?
Yeah, because I can't see Shanahan and Lamoriello negotiating.
No,
with Matthews.
Not during the season. At the end of the season, they sign Matthews
before
sign
July 1st.
Yeah, because they'll sign him a year early, right? And they'll extend him, and it'll end up costing him less money. I think he's right. Matthews should be signed.
Fascinating interview with Bruce. He's one of the brightest minds in sports journalism, and some really really good points. Hopefully, we can get him back. Get him back soon to talk hockey. It's time for our break. We'll be right back after the break talking basketball with Leo Routens.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville realised that people may not know how many different kinds of ponzos Pizzaville makes. You can go Italian if you like a sausage. You can go Hawaiian if you like ham and pineapple. And you can go Canadian if you like bacon, beer and hockey. We can build a ponzo that speaks your language, no matter where you are from. Call Pizzaville at 736-3636 or visit pizzaville.ca.
At Titanium Logistics, we believe that choosing the right shipping company comes down to two issues, price and cost. Most prices are competitive. We'll likely save you money too. But the cost of choosing the wrong company to service your cross-border freight to and from the U.S. and Mexico can be extraordinary. If it's not where it should be, when it should be, that bargain price, worthless. Titanium Logistics. On time, on budget. Call 905-266-3014. Ask for Blair Downey.
At 20,000 square feet, Steeles Paint in Woodbridge is Canada's largest independent paint store. Big deal, right? Big deal, yes. The best brands, the best staff, the best advice, the best of everything. From color matching to brand selection, whether you're a pro or a DIYer, we'll look after you from the minute you walk in to the minute you walk in a second time as a completely satisfied customer. Big store, big deal, bigger satisfaction. Simple. Steeles Paint, 4190 Steeles Avenue West in Woodbridge.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity and Vaughan. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
They never argue sports. They just explain while they're always correct. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. And if you're driving around downtown Toronto, it's going to take you a little bit more time. We've got a marathon down by the lakeshore this morning, and it's plugging up traffic down here. So be forewarned. Anyways, we're pleased to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour Raptors TV analyst and affectionately known as the Kid from Keel Street. That is, of course, Leo Routens. How are you this morning, Leo?
I'm great. How are you this morning?
We're doing great. Thanks so much for joining us. Leo, the Raptors are off to a 2-0 start. Just very, very simply, your observations.
I'm excited about what I'm seeing. Going into the season, a lot of people, the so-called experts, were downplaying the Raptors' chances in the Eastern Conference, which I completely didn't understand. To me, this team is better than last year's team, and several reasons for that. One, you have your core intact. And these guys have been through a lot of wars, and there's no substitute for having, your core group of guys staying together and being committed to winning. I think the Raptors have gotten better in other ways, some addition by subtraction, some clearly by having a player like C.J. Miles who can really shoot the ball in the lineup. I think the young players have really developed, and that was a big question mark. You know, what's the bench going to do this season, the second unit? So when you put it all together, I think that combined with the commitment to moving the basketball and playing a better team game, I think is going to bode for a tremendous season for the Toronto Raptors. I'm excited about the year.
Leo, there was talk about a change in style of play. Have they done that so far?
Oh, absolutely. There's a focus on just better ball movement. You know, get the ball up the floor quickly.
Don't pound the basketball with the dribble. Move it. Create for one another. Have better spacing on the floor. Obviously shooting the three is a big thing in the NBA today. So the Raptors are doing their best to create great shooting opportunities for one another. And the idea that, you know, if you shoot it freely and shoot it with confidence, and you shoot it often enough, you're going to make a higher percentage and a good percentage of those shots. So they're definitely committed to that style. And, you know, contrary to what people think, you know, with the idea of moving a ball and getting threes, you're also going to get a lot of good inside touches. You're going to open up the floor. You're going to have great spacing. You're going to allow an opportunity to get in the paint. And you're going to have to involve your bigs. And we're already seeing that with Jonas Valanciunas and Serge Ibaka. That's one of the byproducts of great movement and great spacing. You involve your bigs. You play inside out. And I think all that's starting to show. And you just have to hope that continues all season long.
Out of all the young guys that are out there, who's been the most impressive to you?
Well, they've all, quite honestly, these guys have all shined. One of the reasons that Raptors management felt confident to move Corey Joseph to get C.J. Miles was the development of DeLon Wright and Fred VanVleet. I mean, the backcourt, these guys have shown that they can handle the point. They can play on the floor together. Which is big for Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan to have a break and get these guys on the floor. They move the basketball. They defend. The bench has actually, you know, been instrumental in changing the games in the first two games, and these guys are a big part of that. Jakob Poeltl is a big man that just has a great feel for the game, and he's done a great job. Lucas Nogueira came in yesterday when Jonas Valanciunas sprained his ankle. Started the second half and impacted the game dramatically in the third quarter. So I can keep going down the list, but one by one, these guys have all shined. Even rookie OG Anunoby. Here's a guy that wasn't even going to be in the picture till November, maybe December, late December. And not only is he in the picture, but he's playing well. He had an ACL surgery last year, and he's way ahead of schedule, which tells you that he's put in the time, put in the work, and he's showing that he's down the road here, and very quickly he could be a big factor for this team, especially when you consider what we're seeing right now. He's only at probably 75-80% physically, and he's making an impact in the game. So there's a lot of good young players in this team, and I think that's something that's gone unnoticed over the past few years, that Raptors are one of the few teams, and I mean few, in this league that are focused on winning and trying to be one of the top teams in their conference. At the same time, very youthful and focused on development. And when you have that balance between the two, that tells you you're going to have longevity and long-term impact in your franchise, where not a lot of teams can say that. A lot of teams either age out or they're too young. And the Raptors have kind of the best of both worlds.
The one thing that's being unnoticed by a lot of people is the 905 team. How important is the 905 team to the development of the Raptors?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, you could see a big, big change in what's been happening. From the time the Raptors were able to get the 905 here in Toronto. One, it's in their backyard, so you can monitor all the players that you're developing, right down the street, basically. Which is a huge thing. In the past, you'd send them off to another team, another part of the country, and you're really not on top of it. The fact is, and 905 won the championship last year, and they're basically running the same stuff. So if a kid, and what you do is, if you're not playing much, you get stale, you get out of shape, you don't, your confidence isn't up. Last year, Jakob Poeltl, Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam, these guys all went down, played some games, and came back. Sometimes they play a game in the afternoon in Mississauga, and they come right back and play with the big team at night. All that allows you to continue to develop. And the fact that what Jerry Stackhouse, the coach of 905, is doing over in Mississauga is exactly what Dwayne Casey is trying to do here. And so these players are running the same plays. They can even experiment. They can even try some things out maybe Casey wants to do, try them out in that environment, see how they work, and then implement them on the Raptors. So So having a development team in your own backyard, you know, much like baseball has been doing it for years and the whole NBA is going in that direction, it can't do anything but make you a better organization.
We're talking to Leo Routens. Leo, you were the first Canadian ever drafted in the first round of the NBA draft. You were a coach of Canada's national basketball team for a few years. This year, there's 12 Canadians on NBA season opening rosters. Surely that's got to be a record. Your comments on that?
Well, yeah, last few years, Canadians are the highest number of players outside of Americans in the NBA. So it's a great sign, and the best is there's more coming. There are more players coming up that are going to be drafted in the NBA, and you know, we've entered a very special time in our basketball history that the game is growing by leaps and bounds. There's tremendous programs throughout the country, you know, high school, prep school, all that happening in Canada. And these kids now have an opportunity to get coaching, development, exposure, and we're seeing it all come to fruition. So as good as it is now with players in the NBA, it's only going to keep getting bigger and better. And also, too, you know, we don't just have players in the NBA. I mean, in the past, you know, we had some guys playing, you know, just role players. Now we have guys playing prominent roles on teams, scoring points and you know, being key rotational players. And, you know, that's very different from the past where you had maybe had a Steve Nash and then some other guys, you know, playing a role. Now you got guys that are, like I said, key rotational players, and that's great inspiration for all the other kids watching and wanting to pursue the same dream.
Can we expect that this is going to show up in the near future in greater success for Canada at the international stage? Can you foresee the day perhaps where Canada is competing for a medal at the Olympics?
Oh, absolutely. I think when you look at athletically, you know, the United States, you know, is able to just pool players together and go out and just dominate because they're so talented and so athletic. We are getting to that point in Canada. You know, you're soon going to be able to have a large pool of players that you can bring into a camp and even have a secondary pool that can play against that primary one. So you have a resource of, say, 24 players that you can at a given time you can out of all these guys put together for a national team that also have some amount of experience at that level. And that's critical because, you know, on a summer to summer basis, it's very difficult to have the same guys play because of contracts, injuries, fatigue, and all those other factors. So, you know, one of the great benefits for the United States is to have this large pool. And some of the more successful teams internationally, same thing. They have a pool of players that have a tremendous amount of experience. So if several players can't play in a certain summer, they don't have a major drop-off. The only issue right now is the FIBA has changed the qualification methods. And for two of the stages, it's four stages during the course of the year, and two of those will not involve NBA players. And that's where it becomes increasingly difficult. Now they've widened the ability to get into the tournaments. They're allowing more teams in, but at the same time, it really focuses the national programs on developing other players, finding other players, whether it be college, international, whatever, to fill in the gaps when the NBA players can't play. So, you know, it's going to make it more challenging, but to answer your first question, that once as this pool keeps growing, we're going to be on the level, you know, closer to the United States than anybody else.
I've noticed Andrew Wiggins has really filled out, Leo. What's your impression of him? He signed a big contract. What is he going to do for us?
Well, Andrew Wiggins is a tremendous talent. You know, he's gotten better every year in the NBA. You know, he's a big time scorer. I mean, he's averaging 20 plus a game, and he's capable of big nights, and now he's got, you know, a better surrounding cast, and that's going to be the big thing. You know, obviously he's physically, he's growing, maturing, getting stronger, but, you know, when you're losing a lot, sometimes your numbers get skewed. And I think the big thing going forward now for Andrew is impact winning. And with the better supporting cast, hopefully he's going to be able to do that, and the supporting cast is going to allow him to be more successful. And I think that's the important thing. You know, sometimes when you're on a losing team for too long, you just kind of get in the habit of going through the motions because you know you can get your numbers. Hopefully now Andrew will be in a position where he's playing for something, you know, to be a playoff team and hopefully to have success in the playoffs. So that's the next step for him. But you're talking about just absolutely tremendous talent. He's got size. He's got so many unbelievable athletic skills. He can shoot the ball. You know, he's got a chance to be an all-star in that league.
We're talking Leo Routens. Leo, we're going to – one last question before I let you go. We're going to go back to the Raptors. Where do you foresee this season going? What are the strengths of the team going to be? What are the weaknesses going to be? And where do you see the Raptors finishing up in their conference?
Well, I said it before. I've said it again. I think this is a top three team. I think Cleveland is the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. And then, you know, everybody was talking about Boston. I didn't buy into the hype, even with Gordon Hayward before he got hurt last week. I still think the Raptors, in my mind, are a better team. Now with his injury, that certainly is going to affect Boston. You know, I think you look at Cleveland, you know, Toronto, Washington, Milwaukee is going to be a dangerous team with the rise of Giannis Antetokounmpo. So, you know, but the Raptors are right up there. And I think the key is going to be that they stick with the plan right now. Realize that what hurt them in the previous years was to make shots and move the ball and keep the game simple. So if they can continue to play the way they've started out this season and only get better at it during the course of the year, I think that they're going to be able to achieve their goals and hopefully get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And, you know, if you look at any weakness, I would say the weakness going into the season was what is the second unit going to bring to the table? And, again, based on what we've seen already, and I realize you're only looking at a two-game window here, but if the second unit provides the same kind of punch and plays with the same kind of confidence as we're seeing already, that second unit is not going to be that big concern that everybody came into the season worrying about. We're going to find out a lot. You know, Raptors in the next six games are heading out west, and, you know, they start out with San Antonio and Golden State on that trip. So it's going to be a grinder of a trip, you know, a 12-day trip and the tough games on the road. We're gonna find out a lot about this club in this next 2 weeks. So I'm excited, though. I really think that fans are going to enjoy watching this team, and I think a lot of experts are going to be proven wrong as far as their predictions on what the Raptors are going to do.
Leo, we want to thank you for joining us. I know you're excited. We're excited here, too. Naz is excited. He's donning a Toronto Raptors cap this morning, so he's excited about the season.
Nice, nice.
So we'll stay in touch, my friend, and go Raptors, go. Let's hope it's a great season. Thanks
Sounds
so much.
Great. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
It's always All a pleasure, right. Leo. Thanks so much, Leo Routens. Anyways, we've got a few minutes left. Why don't we take some calls, Naz? We can get some listeners on the line. I'll read out those numbers. 416, if you want to talk sports with us on the line, questions or comments, give us a shout at 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. Read those ones out really quickly. Once again, 416-360-0740, 1-866-740-4740. Naz, yesterday afternoon I was flipping channels and managed to, I was flipping the channel and came across the Argos game.
Yes, sir. They won 30-29.
Or something like that. And something very interesting happened at the end of the game. It reminded me about the old days in the CFL. And I think it was the last play of the game. And this is what makes the CFL so fascinating.
What happened, the single point thing?
No, apparently The Winnipeg tried to kick a field goal on the last play of the game, and the Argos had their punter in the end zone.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
So
the punter
grabbed the ball and he kicked it out of the end zone and kicked it out of bounds, and the game was over. And yeah. I mean, it's I had to look twice there because I thought I was watching Bernie Filoni out there, the old Hamilton Tiger Cat, because that's you remember those games from the 60s. Used to kick it in the end zone. Who was the kicker for the Toronto Argos? It was Dave Mann. I remember this one game. They were kicking it into the end zone, and Dave Mann kept kicking it out, and they kept kicking it back in. They must have kicked it in and out about three or four times. I mean, that was the beauty of the CFL. Anyways, we seem to have attracted some interest, so we've got a couple of callers on the line. If you're on, we'll try and get to you one at a time. If you can be patient, that's great. We'll see what we can get in before the show is over. I believe we have from Etobicoke, Mr. D. General. Mr. D. General, are you on the line this morning?
Hey, good morning, gents. What's going on?
Well, you tell us. What's on your mind?
I miss you guys. I haven't talked to you in a while. You guys have been busy. Great guests, great great shows that you put on. So, but I've been listening intently, and I got to admit, I agree with you for the first time in a long time regarding the Leafs. Now, here's my question, and I'll leave it up to you guys. Are the Leafs that good, or is the league this bad? The games I've been watching out west, and even on our side of the pond over here, there's a lot of flip-flops back and forth, and I don't see any consistency. I don't see anybody coming out of the pack. So in light of that, I think the Leafs got as good a chance as anybody else this year to start their parade plans. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Ness.
Yeah, the parade plan started a long time ago for me, but it's never happened. But I think they have a legitimate shot, too. I really do. There's a few teams that are in that same situation. Look at the LA Kings. They started out undefeated, and they play the Leafs tomorrow night. And who would have thought they would have bounced back? Everybody said they were going to be an older team and they wouldn't do anything, and look at them. So you don't know. You just don't know.
Well, my theory, and that's a really great question, comment. And my theory on sports in the modern era, in the salary cap era, is that when the season starts, there are potentially – in the NHL, potentially 20 to 23 teams that could potentially win the Stanley Cup. Maybe 23 is on the high side. Let's say 15 to 20 teams have a shot of winning the Stanley Cup, depending on which way the puck bounces, which way who gets injuries. There, the days of the dynasties and super teams, I believe, are gone. Notwithstanding the remarkable achievements of the Pittsburgh Penguins by winning 2 years in a row, and if they manage to win it this year, well, I'd put that on par with a five in a row of the old teams. Because in today's salary cap era, I mean, you got players coming in and out, and then it depends on injuries. There's probably five teams at the top of the pack, but it depends on their goaltending. And depends on who gets injured. And do the Leafs have a legitimate shot of winning the Stanley Cup? I'm a little bit concerned we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. But they certainly have the talent up front. I think through their top 12, they are probably as good, if not better, than any other team in the league, Naz. Maybe you...
are they better than any other team in the league up front?
Yeah, perhaps Nylander and Matthews aren't yet Crosby and Malkin.
They're pretty close.
but Leafs, if Frederik Andersen is able to take his game to, I think he's got to take his game to a little bit higher level, and their defense matures, they've got a legitimate shot. I wouldn't classify them as one of the favorites. I think the Bodog line's a little bit ahead of itself, but... certainly it's going to be an interesting season if they stay away from injuries. Who knows what this team can do? I wouldn't be surprised. Naz, I'm being told we've got 30 seconds left. I usually give you the last word.
This is a shout out to the boys. I don't know if my kids are in Buffalo yet, but they're going to the Buffalo-Tampa game today, and go Bills, go, boys.
We didn't get a chance to talk about the Bills. We didn't get a chance to talk about the Dodgers-Astros. And congratulations to TFC. They have finished first. Today's their last game. They're going into the playoffs. We wish them all the best. It's been another great week on the Nazamwali Sports Hour. To all our loyal listeners, we'll be back again next Sunday morning. Be safe.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.